Welcome to episode 9 of Autograph Weekly.
I'm Chauncey Leopardi, who played Squints in The Sandlot, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly forever.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
What's going on, autograph collectors? I'm Stacey Schaefer.
And I'm Zane Savage, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly, where we will feed your autograph addiction every week until our American politicians quit using Pokemon quotes in their speeches. Well, guys, if you don't know, we put a keyword in every show, so you have to listen very closely to find out that keyword, because it's going to be used in a later giveaway in the show. So whenever you hear the keyword, go to our Facebook page and post it to enter. Keep your ears open the entire podcast. That's why we put it in there. All right, let's move on to the return recap. It's been, what, 2.5 weeks since we've been on? So we got a lot of stuff to go over. Stacey, what'd you get?
All right, let's get started here. I'm going to go over probably 9 to 10 returns here. Not going to have very up-to-date stats this time, because like I said, it's been almost 2.5 weeks. So I think roughly I probably sent out about 80, I'm guessing, and maybe have gotten back close to 30 in that time frame. There was a week there that was pretty slow, but let's get to some of the stuff I got in this week. Start with one that I got today, and that's none other than Emilio Estevez. Signed all 4 photos I sent. Yeah, I know, I sent 4.
The Mighty Duckman himself, Emilio Estevez.
And one of them was a Mighty Ducks cast photo, so that was pretty cool.
The Mighty Duckman.
Moving on, next got Christie Brinkley back. Finally got that return. Was a DVD cover of National Lampoon's Vacation, so I was very happy to get that back. I think you got that back.
Yeah, address did you use for that?
It was the play address. So
she's still doing that play? Because I sent that off like 2 months ago.
See, I don't know if she's still doing it or if she just ended up taking it home with her and just finally got it sent off, or if they forwarded it to her. I mean, I sent that off. That was like shortly after you got yours back.
That's so probably what it was. They probably sent it back to her house and she signed them at home and then got them out late. Okay, yeah, go on.
I didn't think I was getting it back, so it was a nice surprise when that came. I believe that was yesterday. Also got in Adam West. Never complain about getting Batman back. He signed both photos. Also got Cote de Pablo, who is special agent Ziva on NCIS. She signed 1 of the 3 photos, so that was a very awesome return there. Got in Dane Farwell. Signed all 3 photos, and you guys are asking, who the heck is Dane Farwell?
Who the heck is Dane Farwell?
Exactly. He is the guy who played Ghostface in the Scream movies. Very awesome return, signed all 3 photos, like I said, but added awesome inscriptions on each one, so that was pretty neat. One of them, I think, was, I know where you live, and there was some other awesome inscriptions on there. It's always cool when you get that kind of stuff back.
You know, if I'm ever in threat of being killed by a mass murderer, I hope he's as clumsy as Ghostface.
Exactly. Another horror success that got back in the stretch was Katie Featherston, I believe, actually. She played Katie in the Paranormal Activity movie. She signed a couple of photos, so that was an awesome return as well. See, also got Bret Hart in this week, the Hitman, signed 3 photos. That was a long return from Canada. That request kind of got sent out back when Canada was having their postal strike. So I was actually glad to see that come back. Couple others here real quick. Got John Scully. You guys might be asking that same question, who is John Scully? He actually worked at Apple back in the day with Steve Jobs, and he was actually the person who, believe it or not, fired Steve Jobs from Apple, from his own company, basically.
You're fired. My Donald Trump impression.
But yeah, that was a that was a private address that I found and was very happy to get that back. He wrote a couple of very awesome inscriptions on the back of the photo, so great return there. Another one here, got Jeff Bezos back, the CEO of Amazon, so that was an awesome return. And then the final one I will mention, being it kind of goes with our joke for this week, I got in Herman Cain this week. Signed, did not sign the photos that I sent. I sent to whoever's in charge of handling his mail, but they sent a, I believe, I don't know, was a little bigger than a 5x7 photo back of him. It was signed, so.
Would you say Herman Cain appropriately touched that photo?
Who knows?
Who knows? It could be inappropriate. We don't know.
Now that he's out of the presidential race or on hiatus, I got to send those photos back and see if I can get a Pokemon inscription on one of them.
That would be simply amazing. I don't think you do it though.
Yeah. Well, that takes care of what I got in for the last couple of weeks. What about you, Zane?
Well, I didn't get as many as you. I've been very lazy when it comes to the TTMs, but I have made up for it last week and this week. I've sent off about 60 requests in the past 2 weeks, which is kind of making up for my past month of sending like 5. But I did get some really cool returns. Today I actually got Rebecca Black in via a private address. And you know what private address means? I cannot share it with you, the listeners. So don't DM me about it. Say what?
Are you going to sing?
It's Friday. Yeah, you guys know that song? She sings that. Anyways, I sent her 3 photos, and she sent an amazing response back. I actually shared this address with Stacy, and he got a personal handwritten letter from her. She sent me an 8x10, signed my 3 photos, and sent me a t-shirt. She also signed my printout of the Friday video, and she sent wristbands. So I actually got a pretty nice like priority mail package, and I was like, and it said from Rebecca Black on it, and I'm like, what? Crazy. So that was really cool. She's a big viral video icon right now. Got a return from possibly the guy I look up to the most, Ralph Nader. And a lot of you guys say, Nader, what the heck? Watched a documentary on the guy, and I agree with him on pretty much everything. The guy's going to go down in history as one of the most influential Americans of all time. In the history. He'll be in the history books, you know, when our kids are in school. So I wrote to him, and he signed 3 book plates for me. I was hoping to maybe get like a personal like little letter back from him, because I wrote a really, really good letter, because like I said, I'm a huge, huge fan. But didn't get that. Just got the book plates. That's fine. I know he's a busy guy. This is a guy that literally, I think he keeps $25,000 a year that he gets paid for expenses, and the rest goes back into funding his causes. So he literally lives a very meek, $25,000, I mean, people make less than that, but for somebody of his stature, he lives a very meek life just to support his causes. He puts all of his money that he can into his causes, and that alone is commendable. I'm getting into politics, I'm sorry. Next, speaking of politics, I got a book plate signed by George W. Bush. I actually already have one, but I wanted to get one to stick in a book to create a book plate bastard. Because the book plate bastard would fit Bush perfectly. I needed one for my collection, and I actually wrote off to his dad also to get one for my collection, because it goes perfectly in my signed political book, PC. And for those of you new viewers, if you're new and you don't know what a PC is, that's a personal collection. Basically, that's stuff that we will never trade away. We will never get rid of. It's in our collection forever. Okay, and the last one that's really, really, really notable is Alan Dershowitz, who was part of the Dream Team for OJ. He's possibly the most well-known living lawyer right now. His signature is probably the worst signature I've ever seen. It's basically a big O. It looks like a big O, kind of a heart. If you go on Star Tiger, you can see my scans that I put up. But, yeah, so those are the real notable people. I got other ones in, but you guys probably wouldn't know who they are. They're more autographs from me. So, all right, let's move on to Geek Week, which we actually had. Geek Week returns are starting to come in again, which is a good thing. It's always good when we can have a Geek Week segment. Project Geek Week is done by Lynn Peralta. He draws these awesome, awesome cards and interviews the people he draws for a podcast, and it's called the Geek Week Podcast. It's got all these famous nerds in it, and it's a really cool set of cards that me and Stacy have printed out and sent to all the people. And we've got, I'm up to 25 now, and Stacy is up to, I believe, 17. If you want to keep score, you can go to autographweekly.com, and we have a tab that updates regularly when we get them in on who's winning the Geek Week stats. So who'd you get in this week, or this past 2.5 weeks, Stacy?
And I just want to add something to that. The best part about this is that Len is actually kind of following this as well. He goes on the website, checks the stats. He tweeted us out actually last week. I think it was Friday, the day after, or Monday. Days are confused. It's been so long since we've done a show. But I believe it was that following Monday after we did the Super Show, he actually sent a tweet out talking about what we're doing, so that was very awesome.
But before you get into what you got, yeah, I want to add to that too. Well, I don't know, we're adding to everything. But Lynn has been very good to us and responded to all of our requests and stuff that we've talked to him about. And he actually has on Kickstarter, which is a website where you can donate to help things get started. I think series three is he on? Because he stopped. Maybe he's done with series three and he's moving on to series four. But he does have a Kickstarter for that. If you guys are interested in donating money to get that started, I think you still can do that. I believe there is a Kickstarter for that. So go on with your Geek Week returns.
And just a little teaser to add to that, we will and probably should be having Len on the show shortly. We're working those details out, so be on the lookout for that.
Just give the goddamn Geek Week return, Stacy.
I got just one in since the last show, but it's a pretty awesome one. Came back from Molly Lewis. She signed the Geek Week photo that I sent and also included two cards that she had that she sent back signed, and also got a very cool personalized letter from her, so just an awesome return. And you'll see that once in a while with these Geek Weeks. Like I said, some of these aren't the most well-known famous people, so you're getting some better responses from these people, and it's always cool to see that. What did you get in this since the last show, Zane?
I got in three. By the way, Molly Lewis is a YouTube musician. She plays the ukulele, but she's got a very large following, so it's very cool to get her back. I got her back also. She wrote a very personal letter, which is cool, on her little cute Japanese stationery, except mine was different cute Japanese stationery than Stacy got. So that was a really cool return, because she also sent four Geek Week cards, so actual cards, not the photos that we send. So I actually got six Geek Week, you know, pictures of her back in one return. Also got Jonathan Colton, who is the internet viral musician. He sings "All We Wanna Do Is Eat Your Brains," which is in, I think, Left 4 Dead 2. And he also sang Code Monkeys, if you ever watched that on, I think it was, what, Cartoon Network or something that was on. He sang the theme song for that. And he's just a great musician. I actually saw him live. He opened up for They Might Be Giants, which I saw in St. Louis, and he was awesome. He only sang five songs, and I was like, come on, man, you can at least sing, like, seven songs for a set, but only five. I wish I could have heard him sing more stuff. But great guy, signed two photos and two index cards. And then the best Geek Week I've got in a while. She's probably number two on my hot redhead list. She's right below Felicia Day. You guys know how high up Felicia Day is on my list. Carrie Byron from Mythbusters. Super hot. I found a private address for her, sent to that, and she signed both my Geek Week photos and sent an 8x10 signed, which is awesome, and on my wall behind me right now. So that feels... I should start a hot redhead PC, now that I think about it. That would be a good
one. Yes, you should. You need more PCs.
I need more PCs. I only have like 50. all right, enough of the Geek of Week. Let's move on to the news stories. Stacy, tell us the news.
All right, I've got a couple of pretty interesting and funny news stories here. First one is going to involve Charlize Theron.
I think it's Theron, isn't it?
What's that?
Isn't it Theron?
I'm not sure Theron. Exactly, Howard.
Charlie's Theron?
I've heard it both ways.
You're wrong, Stacey. It's Theron.
Okay.
Call Arthur maybe Ron. It's all right. No, you can be fancy and call Arthur Ron. Go ahead. Be fancy.
Okay, what this news story is, what she did, this is pretty cool, actually. There were these two young girls that were holding a garage sale outside their West Hollywood home. And they were actually trying to make some cash because they were aspiring actresses. So Charlize happens to go by this garage sale and starts talking to these girls about what they're doing and stuff. So what she ends up doing, she finds out they're actresses and so on. So she's like, well, I'm going to try to help you guys. So what she does, she pulls out a pair of her silicone breast enhancers from her bra and signs them and gives them to the girls to sell up their garage sale. And they actually ended up selling both of them for just under $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's just an interesting story to see, especially a celebrity like that.
Would you pay $1,000 for Charlize Theron's breast enhancers signed?
Possibly.
If you had $1,000 to blow, like, let's say you got a $1,000 bonus tomorrow. Let's say you had a $2,000 bonus tomorrow. Would you spend $1,000 of it on Charlize Theron's breast enhancers?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty unique. That's a real two of two.
That's a real two of two. It's an eBay two of two.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. All right.
All right, and the next one is the article is actually titled Jacksonville Woman Gets Biden to Sign Yearbook. And basically what this is, I'm just going to go through and read this real quick. This is a real short article just so you guys know what's going on completely. Vice President Joe Biden signed a few autographs Thursday during his visit to Fletcher High School in Neptune Beach. He is sure to tell his wife Jill about one of them. Donna Rex of Jacksonville attended Upper Moreland High School in Willow Grove, PA, with Jill Biden. Rex brought the high school yearbook to Fletcher and showed him his wife's class photo. The vice president signed the photo, much to Rex's delight. And what he wrote was, I am not Jill, but I am her husband, and he autographed it. So that was pretty nice and pretty epic return, or pretty cool.
That is a really cool story.
Biden, yeah.
That's a really good idea, actually. I don't know. If I went to high school with somebody, let's say somebody you went to high school with becomes super famous, and you go to their concert or whatever, and you meet them, but you didn't really know them in high school, would you feel weird having them sign your yearbook? Or would you totally be cool with that?
I think I'd be okay with it. I could see where you think it might be a little awkward.
It could be awkward, but if you played it right, I think it'd be okay. Well, I got one news story, and it's about the great and wonderful Steve Martin, by the way, who I have a signed uncorrected proof book of. I'm awesome. But this is a story saying that he abandoned this pre-signed autograph thing that he was doing. He thought it would be funny if he would print up these pre-printed autographs. And if you know anything about autographs, a pre-print is a signature that's part of the photo. It's not real. It's not real in any kind of capacity. It's basically just part of the photo. He printed up a bunch of these, and what they said was, let me get this right. Well, basically he said, here's my autograph, and it said something witty. I don't remember. Anyways, it had some witty phrase like, this proves you spent 30 seconds of time with me or something like that. Anyways, he was giving these out, and he was not signing them because they were pre-printed into the picture. But after 6 months of doing that, he's given it up because he's found that people get mad because what they want is him to sign and actually talk to him and stuff instead of giving out these little cards saying, hey, congratulations, you spent 30 seconds with Steve Martin. I think that's what they said, something like that. So he's officially abandoned giving out pre-printed autographs because he's pissed too many people off. So I thought that was a little interesting news story we needed to go over. All right, guys, we've got a treat for you now. Open your ears for a great and wonderful interview. All right, we've got a treat for you guys today over here at Autograph Weekly. We have Dick DiBartolo on the line. Say hi, Dick.
Hi, Dick. is that for them to say hi, Dick, to me?
Oh, no, they can't talk since they are an audience. They're not supposed to talk. They're not allowed to talk.
See, I'm used to having a live chat room. It's
okay. Dick, of course, runs the Giz Whiz over there. I think you call it Gizney World. Is that what you call your studio?
Yeah, that's the Leo has the Twit Brick House, so we needed a name here. And fortunately, listeners came up with Gizneyland, which I just love.
It's super creative. I'll give you that. Dick's done a million different things, doing the Gizwiz thing right now. Of course, he's wrote for Mad Magazine since the caveman era. He how many consecutive...
Just before paper. We
before
used to
paper.
Actually do it on stone.
That's simply amazing. You're a legend in writing, of course, and you wrote for The Match Game. Which, how many years did you write for The Match Game?
Boy, The Match Game, every year it was on until Goodson passed on. So probably something like 18 years.
Wow, that's just simply amazing. Some of the questions you came up with were just hilarious. I was actually rolling through the clips today. And did you actually write the boobs joke? I watched the boobs video on, it was about, what was it? I believe the question was, somebody loves this woman's blanks. I don't remember what the...
Well, the thing with Match Game was after we got boobs, like, for four answers, when someone couldn't think of an answer, no matter what the question was, they would just write boobs.
Right. Okay, yeah. So just a way to fill in there and make it... Yeah. It has to be a dirty joke. And dirty joke's always entertaining. Well, we got a few questions for you here, Dick. And
okay.
We got autograph-related questions, obviously. We got a lot of those. But we also got these quick questions we want to run through. You've probably been asked a million times, so you probably got them on the tip of your tongue. So it shouldn't be hard for you to answer. We'll get through them quick, then we'll get to the autograph-related stuff. So let's get started with...
Okay.
What do you think will be the next big thing in technology?
Well, you know, pads... somehow... iPad seems to have the marketplace, but everybody is in there trying to get part of the market. I think Samsung's doing a good job with a really useful pad. But I think the thing that's going to happen is that I think the pad is slowly just going to replace the computer, because you can carry it pretty much everywhere. I'm especially attracted by the new line of 7-inch pads, because an iPad's a little big to carry almost everywhere, but a 7-inch pad can start to fit in pockets of some clothing where you can literally have it with you and not be carrying it. So I think people are going to start getting away from actual computers and just be carrying pads everywhere. And then maybe when you go home, click it into a keyboard and possibly a bigger screen. But...
No,
I think there's no stopping the pad.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. It's almost like you saw Minority Report back in like 1999, and they were using that kind of technology, and now, you know, we got the Kinect, which does all the amazing stuff it does.
Oh, people are so lucky because the technology is amazing, and the prices are ridiculous.
I know.
It's on the low side.
It is amazing. The way that technology is just rapidly reproducing and getting better, it seems like every year, it makes me think when I'm, 80 years old, what's going to be around? It really blows your mind.
Yeah, maybe when you're 80, your life expectancy will be 160 by then.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That could be around. That's scary. That's very
You'll still
scary.
Be doing this podcast, and you'll wish that your life expectancy was shorter.
We'll have as many episodes as you have on your Gizwit podcast. All right, so let's move on to the next question.
Okay.
What is the goofiest piece of technology that you've ever reviewed?
Oh, well, I didn't review it because it never got into the marketplace. It was at CES probably 8 to 10 years ago, and we went to this press conference, and it was... The name itself, I would like to talk to the PR people or the company who came up with the name. It was called I Smell. You know, everything was starting to become I something because of Apple. And I Smell is a series of cartridges that you would buy, and each cartridge contained a different odor. this would connect to your TV set or your computer.
Oh my goodness.
Programs would have to be encoded so that when certain scenes happen, it would trigger your eye smell to mix like ink cartridges can mix up,
right,
you know, thousands of colors. These right. smell cartridges would mix up different odors that would match what you were seeing on the screen. And this is one of those dead in the water ideas.
Yeah.
You almost feel sorry for the people who have put money in this, thinking, are you kidding me? Who is going to buy this?
You want to know something funny, Dick?
You bought one.
No, I did not buy
one. You put money in.
Whenever I was like 13, 14, I actually had the exact same idea. I said, eventually, I was trying to go through all the senses we have and how, you know, computers are eventually going to affect every one of those senses. And I came to smell, and that's actually what I said. I said, and I actually wrote a paper about it in high school, I think, that eventually we're going to have cartridges, and they're going to mix smells and come out of your computer. It wasn't for TV, it was for a computer. And I said, that's the future. So, yeah, I guess.
Well, you know, okay.
No, I mean, I was looking at it as eventually, it probably was horrible and was not perfected when you saw it or saw the
demonstration. Yeah, no. Okay. So you think
to me, it makes sense that that would be the next frontier, would be smells.
Well, you know, Leo and I, we do a podcast that smells, and you don't even need a cartridge. You just have to listen or watch it.
Go ahead and give them linkage for that, since you're
Oh, okay. Twit.tv, and it's called The Weekly Daily GizWiz, or you can get there through my website, gizwiz.biz, and if you like gadgets, lots of gadgets there.
Smelly.
And I try most of the stuff at the Daily GizWiz is kind of a little bit on the strange side, which is why I loved hooking up with Leo, because, you know, he said, I do a monthly podcast, I do a weekly podcast. Is a chance that we could do a daily podcast? And I said, yeah. I said, but Leo, I want you to know, as the GizWiz, I really don't cover, like, you know, everything that Sony puts out and the Game Boy and Nintendo. I really seek out kind of sometimes mom and pop and
right.
off the wall gal. Leo said, let's do it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, and it turned out great. You guys are very entertaining. How many episodes are you on, like 1,300? Or?
Well, you know, I'm just pulling stuff together for this Saturday. Yeah, I think it's going to be like 1,342 or 3 or somewhere in there.
It's
a
insane.
Lot.
Insane, man. All right, yeah. let's move on to the next question, and this is an interesting one. Were you around Charles Nelson Reilly much on the Match Game? And if you were, was he the coolest man ever to walk the face of the earth?
Okay, I was not around Charles Nelson Reilly a lot. I met him a few times, but this is how it worked. The Match Game started in New York City. And I was hired to write the Match Game, and I don't know. Can I do a quick sidebar story here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The Match Game started out that there were no blanks in questions. The questions were: name a red flower, name someone who appears on Money, name a green vegetable, name something to do with an egg. Those were the Match Game questions.
Right.
And the show got canceled, and Goodson called me in and said, you know, Match Game's canceled. I'm just telling you now, we have 6 more weeks of shows, but when they're taped, you're out of work, basically. over the weekend, I thought about it, and I went back on a Monday, and I said, Mark, listen, I work for MAD, and I'm thinking, instead of these dreary questions, silly, stupid questions, he said, like what? I said, Mary liked to pour gravy on John's blank. The very first Match Game question of the sort ever written. And so he laughs, and he goes, oh, that's funny. What are people going to say? And I said, they're going to laugh, and they're going to say mashed potatoes, meatloaf. They'll give real answers, but it'll sound dirty.
Exactly.
And he said, well, it can only get canceled once, and it's canceled, to do what you want. And then I did that, and a month later he said, Dick, you're not going to believe this. They're picking it up again for 6 months because those questions are – working. Anyway, so that got me 18 years employment.
That's simply amazing.
But anyway, so then the show went to California, and the format changed. When it was in New York, it was 2 celebrities and 4 civilians, And when it went to California, Mark said we're going to do a lot more celebrities than just two contestants. He said, if you want to move out there, I'll move you there. I said, Mark, Mad's here. My life is here. I'm a Brooklyn boy. I don't want to go to California. He said, as long as it's a Mad James, you'll have a job. I'm not closing my New York office. He said, so stay here and write it. So I went out on and off for the first few weeks and did meet Charles Nelson Reilly, who, by the way, loved doing the show. He said it was like going to a party and getting a paycheck. And of course, Brett was amazing, and the two of them were, they just killed me.
Just an amazing show all around.
And
it turned out great. Now that I think about it, actually, have you ever played the game Dirty Minds?
I have not.
Okay, basically, it's the same drift where they ask questions and they're dirty, but you have to get past the dirtiness to actually answer the question correctly. I would say that that game was developed around the idea of the Match Game. So you're probably... you don't even know it, but you're probably the inventor of Dirty Minds. They probably got the idea off
you. Okay, I'll take credit for anything.
It's a very popular game. You can look it up online.
So Dirty Minds, what was it?
Dirty Minds, yeah.
Dirty Minds. Okay.
It's a card game.
Okay.
Next is, what was your favorite story you wrote for Mad?
I think it was the Poopside Down adventure. It was a takeoff on Poseidon adventure, and it was good because there was if you can get a running joke going, part of your work is done.
Yeah.
And so when after the ship turned over, I had a scene in the galley where the chef is saying, I guess we'll still have to make meals, so I guess I'll have to bake a pineapple right side up cake. And then the priest is saying, may God shower his mercy down. No, wait a minute. He should shower his mercy up on... How should he shower his... So I had that running joke. And it was... I just like being silly, you know?
Yeah.
And then one of the people who works for the ship line says to him, why was this ship going so fast? And he says, because of our cargo. And he says, what kind of cargo? And the captain says, airmail letters. It's a ship, airmail letters.
That's great, man. Do you remember issue that was, like the 70s or 80s? Or
in the 70s, and it was the largest selling issue of Mad ever.
Really?
And I think because the movie was like a mega hit, and the producers bought 100 copies, and they bought cases of it. It was great. It was really great.
All right, next one is, about how many tech products have you shown on national TV altogether? And a lot of people don't know that you go around actually on these national shows like Regis and Kelly and World News Tonight and show off the new tech gadgets. So I think you've been on Regis, 100 times? I saw on Wikipedia.
Yeah, it was Regis and Kathy Lee. And then I went over to World News Now, which is, I'm not a morning person, so... I did GM at Good Morning America for 6 years, and that ended my relationship with Regis because at ABC, actually, it's with most shows, you cannot do the same type of thing on another show
really
within 4 hours either side of the show. So so GMA wants you to be their gadget person and not show up on Regis.
Okay.
But
how many tech products do you think you've...
You know what?
Just a guess. If you don't know, you don't know.
2,151 gadgets and two I sent back.
See, I had 2,152 here, so I think you're off by one. But
yeah, but you forgot the one that I sent back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dumb me.
There you go. Yeah. Actually, I have no idea.
I just know
I have a warehouse full of crap. There's a lot of gadgets there.
It's Disney World.
Disneyland's my studio, and then we have a totally separate building, Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
Ah. All right, last question that's not autograph related, then we'll get into that stuff. And this is another very, very serious question. Is it true that you were indeed born with that epic mustache?
Yes. It was great because the doctor said, "This makes it so easy to tell if it's a girl or a boy." And so he was very relieved. He said, "Oh, it's a mustache. It's a boy." He said, "Sometimes I have so much trouble telling, but this was great." So
great answer.
I was born with that stash.
Perfect. Let's move on to the autograph stuff. And Stacy, okay. Stacy has the first question for you. So go ahead and shoot, Stacy.
All right. When was you asked for your first autograph, or do you remember the situation involving the first time you signed an item?
You know, my first autograph was people waiting outside Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, waiting outside the studio door. And I thought, oh, this is unbelievable. People, I mean, they were actually waiting for every guest who was on the show. But it was still kind of fun to know that they also wanted my autograph. So that was good. And what was the second part of your question? So that was the first time I started signing autographs, probably 20-some-odd years ago on Regis. And you know what? I guess I was signing autographs at Comic Cons. You know,
right.
Writers don't actually, even cartoonists, we were not recognized for what we do at MAD because people don't see us.
Yeah, they don't recognize your face because your face isn't in the magazine.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, Regis, you know, I get people ask me to sign autographs because they just saw me on television. But at comic book conventions, people tend to know me a little more.
So did nobody write you when you were like writing for MAD back in the 70s and stuff? Did they write you through the mail?
Not early on.
Yeah.
I think after I started doing a lot more of the movie satires, people would write.
Right.
And now it's easy because you can just email. You know, you could email probably 100 celebrities in 9 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and ask the next question. How many autograph requests do you get on a weekly basis?
Oh, you know, I'm just going to say about 6 or 8.
That's
not an astounding number.
And I know you also have an email set up. Does that bother you that people email you for an autograph request? Would you rather them send postage and stuff? And because I know that's a lot more convenient for the celebrity to actually.
You know what? I do like it when it's not the money thing. I like it much better when they send a self-addressed stamped envelope because then I don't have to worry that I copied the address incorrectly.
Right.
I don't have to go looking for a stamp.
I think it's more personable too, right? Like when somebody's handwritten a letter or it's just much nicer,
yes.
I would think, to get that.
And you know, I try to, you know, a lot of people, they'll just send me a blank card and I try to find like a MAD label, you know, still sign something, but make it more than the white card they sent me.
By the way, I love the way you write madly. Whenever you sign your name, that's very creative. We actually love that in the autograph world when people add little things like that to their autograph. It makes it that much more enjoyable. So we really do appreciate that. Stacy, go ahead with the next question.
All right, the next one is: do you have any autographed items yourself, and if so, what?
I have a couple of things signed by Gaines, William M. Gaines. My favorite thing in the world, and it's my favorite thing in the world, and if you ask me, I couldn't put my hands on it at this moment, but I know I own it, is one day I did something and I said, and Gaines said, "So how much do you want for this?" And I said, "Well, what do you think it's worth?" And he said, you tell me the amount and I'll just pay it. I said, "Okay, so if I say $30,000, you'll pay it." He goes, "Yeah." I go, "I want that in writing." He says, write on a piece of paper, "Bill Gaines will pay any amount of money Dick DiBartolo asks me for." I wrote it out, and he signed it, and he date stamped it, and I couldn't believe it. And I walked out, and then I went back, and I said, "You son of a..." And I... I said, you know, I really wouldn't charge you more than I thought it was worth. And he said, what do you think, I'm stupid? That's a legal document. So I still have that.
That's a great story.
Yeah, but I don't think I have many other autographs. I do have other great, like Don Martin, you know, Mort Drucker, Al Jaffe. I do have signed stuff from a lot of the usual gang of idiots, which I won't part with. But I don't think I have anything that a celebrity I really didn't know and ran up and got an autograph.
Right, right. All right. How about has the increase in form letters affected your attitude toward fan mail? And I'll explain this for the listeners that don't know. Form letters are basically letters that people pre-write and plug in the celebrity's information. They're not personal at all. They're basically sent just to get an autograph. We wanted to get your feelings on that issue.
Gee, you know what? I find them annoying. I find them annoying because the letters indicate they have no idea who I am. I don't know where they get my email address or why they bother, but let's see. I am one of your biggest fans. Everybody at your company is jealous of what you do because of your brain, and I want your – now, who? What are they talking about?
Yeah.
And the other thing that – I mean, I usually autograph and send it back, but I find it annoying is, you are my favorite mad artist. Well, I can't draw a stick figure. I have never done a stick of work,
right.
of artwork for mad. Right. I mean, do you not even know I'm a writer?
Exactly.
So that kind of annoys me. And also, I don't know if you know it or not, but there is a tremendous increase in these form things from overseas.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say because the overseas, and we'll get into the eBay stuff later, but overseas autographs actually from America go for more.
And people, okay, but yeah, they're the same kind of thing. You're my favorite person. Yeah. Please send me an autograph.
Yeah, it's okay. Ridiculous. And we try to discourage that here at Autograph Weekly, but we have to discuss it because it's part of the hobby, and we want to get everybody's opinion out there so people know how much it ticks the celebrities off when you send form letters and you don't even know what they do.
Yes, yes. You know, I don't mind a form, even if it was filled in and said, you're my favorite blank writer,
right,
working for, and they filled in Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
But just send out these letters that obviously they have no idea who's it going to. I just erased them.
So everybody listening, we want you to send as many form letters as possible to Dick DiBartolo.
I have enough.
I'm kidding. Stacy, what's the next question?
Alrighty, what is the weirdest item you've ever signed?
So it wasn't weird, but a guy came running in with a new Apple iPad and asked me to sign it with a magic marker. And I said, are you sure about this? He said, yeah, absolutely. I said, listen, I'll do it, but I'm going to ask you again. There's probably a way you can get this off, but
yeah,
you want me to just scribble this all over this beautiful finish? What a brushed aluminum. He says, oh, yeah, no, it'd be so cool. It'd be cool. So I said, all right, so I signed it, but
I'm actually extremely jealous because that would be awesome to have an iPad signed.
Oh, okay. All right. So, okay.
Yeah. Actually, when I get the iPhone, I may send my iPod Touch to you. That'd be really cool to get signed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I get lost in the mail on the way back. But the chance you have to take.
Oh, I may have to make a trip to Disneyland if that. I may have to make a trip to Disneyland if that.
Oh,
happens.
Okay.
The next question is, do you mind when people send multiple requests? And this could be taken multiple ways. Do you mind when people send multiple items? So what's the limit you will sign? Also, do you mind when people send something? Like, I know I sent you magazines to sign about a month ago. If I found something laying around the house, do you mind me writing again to get something signed? Or do you have a limit?
No, you know what? Sometimes it's really a chore when someone sends like 8 or 9 things with a list that this title gets signed to this person.
Yeah.
And also, I love it when they say, please sign this and say something very funny that will make my friends jealous. I mean, I don't mind signing stuff, but I don't want to sound like a grouch, but I don't want it to be a writing assignment. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know about you other than you sent me this thing. I don't know what I can write that you consider funny. I certainly don't mind signing stuff, and I don't mind signing stuff to a person's name.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult when they say, just don't put your name on it. Make sure you write something heartfelt.
Dick, you're such a grouch, man. You're just like the old man from Up, I swear.
Yeah.
All right, Stacey, what's the next question?
What are your thoughts on your autographs being sold, such as on eBay or anything like that, auction sites, or people just basically writing to you to try to sell the autographs?
Well, you know, it's very funny. Is in a way, it's annoying because I often think, is this somebody who ran up to me and said, oh, my God, please sign this. I would be so grateful. Well, the first clue is when I say, what's your name? And they go, oh, no, don't put my name on it. Then I know. Then I go, all right, this is I'm writing this directly for eBay. Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Next time you should write it actually to eBay.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you find it flattering in any way? When people do that, like, oh, there's people out there buying my autograph on eBay. I'm hot stuff.
Oh, I don't mind.
If you don't, it's not a big deal.
No, you know, to tell you the truth, it's interesting because I sell some Mad stuff on my website. You know, right. There was a special edition of Mad called Disco Mad, and it's the only copy of Mad that it has no volume number, no date on it. It was just a one-off that Bill said, oh, if you want to do it, he said, I don't want it to be part of the regular series because it's a niche thing, but he said, it looks funny to me, let's publish it, and you can take credit for it on the contents page. And I was selling that on my website, I think, for maybe $20.
Right.
Well, someone sold it on eBay and got $88.
Really? So wow.
I thought, you know what? I like that in as much as he sort of showed me that I could get more for myself.
Right.
Than I was getting.
$88. So I mean, that really, it's impressive. It shows that people really, really love your work and appreciate it.
Yeah, at least wanted this particular thing.
Right. All right. My last question coming from me.
Okay.
How do you feel about collectors looking for personal information to contact you? Now, I know your personal information is out there. You're a very accessible guy, and this may not apply to you, but a lot of people are not as accessible as you are, and we as autograph collectors, some of us go through background checks, stuff like that, to try to find addresses just to contact you. Not stalk you, just contact you. Do you feel that's an invasion of privacy, or do you look at it as a compliment, again, because somebody wants to contact you that bad?
You know what? I to tell you the truth, I have my email address out there to make it easy for people to contact me, and there's a very easy way to get my address. So, I mean, but if someone found a way to get my home phone number or something, I think I'd be annoyed.
Yeah.
Only because there's an element of being frightened in it.
Yeah.
And the frightening thing is that if you get a piece of personal information in today's technology, the world can know in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, you could put out your give someone your private cell phone number, and they could say, hey, this is Dick's cell phone number. And it's interesting that a lot of people really don't do that. I remember once on the Weekly Daily GizWiz, Leo was demonstrating something, and he said, I'm going to call you with voice, and said, call Dick DiBartolo. And He said, "Oh God, I didn't cover that fast enough because the voice dialed me, but then my phone number flashed on the screen."
Oh man!
So, but I only got three hang-ups, three phone calls where I said hello and then people hung up. But my fear was that I was going to get 50 of them.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
And even though I know the people who listen to the it's twofold. People listen to the Weekly Daily Giz would know in a second how to freeze that frame and how to get that phone number.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they like Leo and I, and they're not going to do that because they don't want to annoy us.
And the ones that probably did were trolls. So
exactly. They were just dropping by for the day. Yeah. So you real fans will not misuse information, but as you said earlier, I just make it easy to find my email address.
Yeah, I like to think we as autograph collectors try to respect you celebrities as much as possible, and we're not going to call your phone number unless we actually have permission to do that. But if we get an address, we're going to write a letter. It's going to be hopefully polite. Like I said, as autograph collectors, it's not going to be a form letter. And we're going to try to treat you guys with respect, since you're basically doing us a favor. And I admit, I look for addresses through background checks and stuff, just because I love the celebrities that much. I love their work, and I really want their autograph up on my wall. So, I mean, I do that.
In the jail cell?
In the jail cell. Next to my poster that I'm carving a hole through, which I'll show you a reference. But
I find most fans are really like I was at the Comic Con this past August, and fans were really great. And at the Comic Con, they give you a person. I was an invited guest. I was never an invited guest at the Comic Con. I usually just went out as to sign autographs from Mad.
Right.
But this past year, I was an invited guest, and so you are assigned a person, and you know that person runs interference for you. You know, she said, you know, there'll be a line. Do you have a limit of how many things you'll sign? And I said, well, if the line is long, let's do three. Right. And if the line is like scattered, let's do six. And if there's only one person, let's
go all day.
Do it till I get tired. Yeah. So
I think almost when you hit a certain level of celebrity, I think you almost have to have that bubble around you just to even protect you. Because there are crazies out there. I mean,
well, yeah, the problem is, the problem is that you're there, and you know, I did three shows while I was there, and then you have people who come up and are trying to read you something that they've just written and show you artwork, and it's really not the place for that.
Yeah,
especially if there's a line of people that just want to say hi and get your autograph to try and nail someone down because they're sitting behind a table and can't move.
Yeah. By the way, Dick, did you get my email with the attachment of my three novels? Have you read those?
Yeah. They're being published already under my name.
All right, Stacy. Last question. Go ahead.
Just a quick follow-up to the Comic-Con. Was it this past Comic-Con that you received a pretty nice award?
Yeah, the Inkpot Award. I was just really taken aback because the Inkpot Award, a lot of really famous people have won it, and there was a lot of hoopla that Steven Spielberg was going to his first Comic-Con ever because he was winning an Inkpot Award, which is given out for lifetime achievement in comic arts and comic animation. And then they invited me out to do a mad look at Dick DiBartolo, and they said, you know, can do an hour show, and I said, fine. And they paid my way and a hotel. And then right before I did my lecture, this gentleman said, I'm from the Comic-Con, and I'm going to do the intro. And I said, oh, great, okay. And then he said, you know, Dick DiBartolo's here. He knows he's doing a presentation. What he doesn't know is that he's here because he's winning an Inkpot Award. And I really was taken aback. It was really amazing.
It's quite an honor. quite an honor.
Yeah, it really was.
Okay, go ahead, Stacy, with the last question.
All right, the last question for this session was, where can fans find you online, and you got anything you want to plug quick?
Gizwiz.biz, GIZWIZ.biz. Email is dick@gizwiz.biz.
Form letters, kids. Form letters.
Yeah. Form letters will not be accepted. And I have an auction. My retirement plan is probably one of the more fault. It's like an Enron kind of plan. My retirement plan is for 45 years, I've been storing Mads in my warehouse at $355 a month, and a rough calculation, I've spent about $100,000 in storage. And it turns out that even though the warehouse is a warehouse and has almost no windows, the copies are turning yellow, and what I thought would be worth hundreds of thousands, who knows what it's worth. But I'm going to know soon enough, because Heritage Auction is auctioning off like 20 Mad specials from the 60s and 70s starting December 17th. So you could check that out. And I do have some Mad stuff for sale on my website.
Do you know where they can find the Heritage Auction information or on the
ha.com.
ha.com. Okay.
Yeah. www.ha.com. And I think you just type Mad Magazine in search, and that goes online December 17th for 1 week.
Okay. Sounds great. All right, Dick, we appreciate you being on. You were a great guest, very interesting guy, and appreciate you answering all the hard questions in the autograph world. Just appreciate all that you've done for the writing community and the match game and all the wonderful, wonderful things you brought into this world. So thanks for being on, man.
Wow. Thank you so much. Right, okay, take care, guys.
You too.
Yeah, thanks, Dick.
Okay.
All right, and the keyword is Gizwiz. The keyword is Gizwiz. Let's move on to the Q&A. Stacy, what questions do we have in our mailbox?
All right, the first one is coming from Alex Joritz. And I hope I'm saying your name right, Alex. Anyway, here we go. The first one is, this one's pretty funny. If you guys were to ever become mega superstars, would you still sign autographs? If so, how many per person, and would you actually read the letter? I will let Zane start with this.
Alex, I believe I'm already a mega superstar. I'm Zane Savage, the Zane Savage, the one and only Zane Savage, the amazing Zane Savage, the spectacular Zane Savage, the fantastic Zane Savage. No, if I became super famous, I mean, obviously you got to come up with a different mindset than like I do now. If somebody sent me fan mail now, which I do get some fan mail, a lot of email, but I've got a couple TTMs here and there. I sign happily, obviously, because I have the time, and you know, it's an honor to sign. But if you became super famous, and you have to put yourself in these people's shoes, obviously you wouldn't sit there and write a note to every single person that wrote every single time. You'd have to, sometimes you'd just have to sign the stuff and send it back. I'm talking megastar. I'm talking like Brad Pitt famous. Okay. It's just not feasible for you to sign. I mean, well, James Earl Jones, you know, he's an amazing signer, but he doesn't respond personally to each letter. He just signs everything. That's probably what I would do if I was a super megastar, because I consider James Earl Jones, he's the voice of freaking Darth Vader, man. He's a mega superstar. So I'd probably be a James Earl Jones. I'd be a large 80-year-old black man. how about you, Stacey?
And just to let you know, he does actually think he's a mega superstar. He already sends price lists with his.
I did. Stacy wanted to get some photos signed from me, so he sent me some photos, and I have made them interesting. I actually put my cat Bobo's paw print on there with some ink. Dipped the paw print in ink and put it on the photo. But I also sent a price list saying, I'm sorry, fan. I get too much fan mail. Due to the amount of fan mail I get, I have had to start charging for autographs. And I highlighted the price that he had to pay. It is pretty creative, I thought.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Same thing as Zane said. I mean, I would do my best to try to keep up on that stuff. And a couple things I want to add here. I've had a couple people ask for a mailing address for me, so I did put that up on the Autograph Weekly website and the contact information if anybody wants that for any reason.
And we're actually going to be creating, if you want a dual signed picture of me and Stacy, I'm going to say within the next 2 months, hopefully, we'll have something set up. We're going to have a P.O. box set up specifically for Autograph Weekly, so you guys can send anything you want in. And we'll have photos pre-signed for whoever wants them. I'd say we'll probably sign, what, 150, 200, Stacy, to start off with, and then, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. We may hold on to those for 5 years. Who knows? we will have an address set up so you guys can get a TTM from us. TTM, by the way, if you're new to the hobby, stands for through the mail. Through the mail request. A fan letter, if you will. So we will be working on that. Just there's a lot of stuff on the table right now we're working on, and that is on the back burner. But did you get the answer question? Question answered.
Yes, for the most part, I think. Like I said, I'll feel free if you guys want to send something. Send something. I'll sign it. I have no problem with it. So
feel free to.
I won't send a price list either.
If you ask for Stacy's breast enhancers, he may send them to you. Next question, Stacy.
All righty. Next one is from AJ Kaiser. Sent a couple of them. Here is the first one. Have you ever sent a TTM to a sports prospect when he or she was in high school? And if so or if not, do you think that is too young to send a request to? And I will answer this for, because I know I've done this. I've done this several times. The success rate has been hit and miss. I haven't done a lot of this lately. I did a lot of it probably 2 or 3 years ago when I was almost all I did was sports stuff. Now I've kind of branched off into other areas, not all completely heavily based into sports. But like I said, the success rate, I'm going to say mine was probably 50 to 60% maybe. A lot of it was local too, and I mean, pretty much everybody I've sent to local. I've gotten Marcus Page a couple times, who's actually a senior now here at Linmar High School, who's going to North Carolina to play basketball next year. Speaking of Carolina, I got Harrison Barnes the year he was a senior at Ames, and he's at Carolina now. I got Bryce Harper when he was, I don't know if it was technically high school, but he was playing in that whatever, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, but
independently or something.
Yeah, he was still only, I think he was only 16 or 17, but it wasn't an actual high school team. So, I mean, I personally don't see a problem with it. I personally wouldn't send more than one or two items to him to send, though. I wouldn't go overboard.
Yeah, don't. We always talk about this. Don't freaking try to profit off of somebody. If you know they're going to be a huge superstar, they're promising, like LeBron James back in high school. Don't send him 10 index cards saying, hey, can you sign these for my entire family? You know, like, just to sell them later because you know they're going to be amazing. Don't do that. But, you know, if you just want their autograph because they're a good player and you have high hopes for them, there's no problem with doing that, just in moderation.
Yeah, and I think to add on to that a little bit, most of all of mine I've actually sent in care of the high school they go to. There's only been maybe one or two that I've actually sent to a home or home address, and those are both local. Most of the time, I just end the high school. And I mean, if the high school gives the mail to them, they give the mail to them. If not, they don't. So.
And I've never actually sent to a high school player or anything, so I can't answer that question. And do I think it's right? Sure. I don't see a problem with it. Just because they're young doesn't mean they can't make decisions. I always hate when people assume that, you know, since people are young, they can't make rational decisions. You know, once you're 16, you pretty much get the drift on the world. You may make stupid decisions every once in a while, but signing autographs is not a tough decision. It's not like life or death. So it's not a big deal if you send a high schooler an autograph request. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure most of them, I mean, you're probably thinking you're probably the only person that's doing this, but I'm sure they get more fan mail than you think, and I'm sure they're signing stuff after games, especially these kids. Like, like Marcus Paige is going to Carolina. He announced that like before his junior year of high school, so I'm sure he's been signing stuff for years anyway. So
next question.
All right, the next one also is from AJ's asking, why is it better to use acid-free binder pages when storing autographs? And the only thing I can think of is that they don't stick. I don't really know or have any other thoughts on that or reasoning behind that. I don't know. Do you got anything to add to that, Sam?
I've never had an autograph rub off because of what you put it in. I've heard people always say, always use acid-free, always use acid-free, always use acid-free. But I've never seen anything happen. You know, I don't care if it's acid-free or not personally, because most of the stuff that is in binders is not my masterpiece stuff. So it's basically stuff that I got of people I like, but they're not. It's not wall-worthy. So I put it in anything I can get my hands on, basically. I have seen, I know I used to collect baseball cards back in the day, and these old baseball sleeves, like you said, they would stick to the actual sleeve and it'd mess up the card. I have seen that. So I'm assuming that that's what people talk about when they talk about acid-free. I don't know if any even pages have acid in them nowadays, to tell you the truth. But I could see where acid would affect the Sharpie. Alcohol obviously affects the Sharpie. And I could see where maybe that could rub it off, but I've never seen it personally, so I don't worry about it. Until I make a really bad mistake and an autograph disappears off my photo, I'm not going to worry about it, so that's my answer.
Alrighty, moving on to the next question. This is coming from Joey Stevenson. This is not so much a question, he's just wanting some advice about how to send request overseas, and I will let Zane do his best to answer this.
All right, I get this question a lot because people are like, do I put postage on it? What kind of postage do I put on it? Here's the thing, guys. If you're sending overseas, if at all possible, try to fit it in a regular letter. If you send 4x6 photos, send at the max 3. Maybe you can probably get away with 4. Anyway, stick them in a letter. Has to be one of the business size letter where you can stick a whole piece of paper in there folded 3 times. And all you got to use is a 90, I think it's going up to $1.05 or $1.04 international stamp. Put that on there and put $1. That's all you got to do. Put $1 American in the thing. Don't put a stamp on the self-addressed stamped envelope. Well, I guess it's not. It's just a self-addressed envelope. Don't put a stamp on that. Just put the dollar in. That way they can pay for the postage back. I find that it's a lot easier for them to convert the dollar into their currency than it is for us to convert other currency into the dollars here. Like, I got some money from Sweden recently. I can't do anything with it. But, like, countries like the United Kingdom and Canada, just send them $1. They can easily convert it. It's not going to be a problem. And that way you don't have to worry about the headache of using an international relay coupon or an IRC. Somebody wanted me to send an IRC from the UK. This was 2 months ago, maybe. I emailed the person, and they're like, well, send an IRC, and then I'll get the stamps for it. I went to my post office and said, I need an IRC. They're like, what? An IRC? I haven't heard about an IRC in like 10 years. So they're like, we don't have any. We haven't had any in like 10 years. So that's not even an option for a lot of people, because I live in a decently large town. It's not huge, but it's a decently large town, and they don't use IRCs. So just send $1. That's the easiest thing to do. Now, if it's an 8x10, send $3. You know, it's that easy. And just go to the post office and say, I want to send this to Australia, and they'll put the right postage on the main package for you. But don't put any stamps on the envelope on the inside. You should be all right. And that's my advice. So, and as the package gets bigger, just add postage. And if it's $1 or $2 off, either way, the person's probably not going to care, because the person you're sending to is a celebrity, and you know they could probably cover that if you do get it wrong. But try to get it right if you can. Okay, I'm done with that question. Next question.
Yeah, and a couple things I'll add to that. Like I said, I haven't done a lot of this. I've done a few, but like Zane said, make sure you enclose the money. I usually put a couple dollars in there just to be safe. And make sure on when you're putting your address that you're putting USA after your location, your city, state, and the zip code.
Yeah,
especially on the ones coming back.
Yeah, that's important. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, you do need to add USA under, like, if you're from California, you know, you put Los Angeles, California, then zip code. Put USA under that part, because that way they know which country to send it to. That's the first step of getting it to you, so it's kind of important.
All righty, moving on. The next one is coming from Steve Finch. He is asking us, if a person finds a private address, which my host is the king of this, and this and the private address has a phone number listed, do you think it's wrong to call them? And I will give this to Zane first, because he, like I said, he is a master at finding these private addresses.
Yeah, you know, I find a lot of private addresses. I've actually found a few of private emails through background checks and stuff, but I'm even weary about sending through private emails, just because it's people view email, personal email, and phone numbers almost as a very close private thing. So if you just go up and call a celebrity out of the blue, I think that's going to freak them out, and they're gonna, if they're freaked out enough, they're gonna want to change their phone number, and you're just causing headaches for that celebrity. If anything, okay, if you do want to contact the celebrity that way, what I would do is write a letter saying, I'd love to have a chat with you, but I know you're busy, and you know, be sensible. And if they say no, they say no. But include it in your letter. See if you get a response. If you don't get a response, and you don't get a response, don't call them. I would ask before I call any number. I would not call anybody out of the blue. First, it takes balls to do that. Just flat out call somebody. But if you did have the balls to do it, I would get permission first. I think that's very important, because people don't realize celebrities, and we talked about this earlier in the interview with Dick, almost have a bubble around them that protect them from crazy people, you know, crazy people that would call their home phone. You know, you could be just a regular person, wanting to talk to the person because you're a fan, but you also got the people who are just mentally crazy and want to stick mashed potatoes into a guitar and smash it over the celebrity's car, you know, like, they make no sense whatsoever. So you have to have that bubble to protect from those people, and I think you're poking at the bubble if you call them out of the blue. What do you think?
I will totally agree. I will agree that I would not have the balls to do that in the first place. I don't know. I guess that's just not me. I just couldn't call. I mean, I'd probably have to have permission once, probably twice, before I'd even consider doing this. I would feel awkward even trying to bring it up.
Well, me and Stacy actually have permission to call a major baseball player for an interview, and we still haven't done it yet. And it's going to be kind of weird, because he's such a legend in the game and in our hobby, that it's going to be kind of weird to call him out of the blue and say, hey, what's going on, man? What's going on, you? Stacy knows who I'm talking about. So,
that's something we have to do sometime soon, too.
yeah, it's something we need to do really fast. inside. Nobody's going to get that. It's an inside joke. But, yeah, it's... now you got me cracking up on that. but, yeah, it's... yeah, that's all I got to say. I've lost track.
That was sidetracked now.
Now
that wasn't even meant to be the way that you took it. I'm just saying that's something we need to do. We keep putting it off and off. But
oh, yeah, that's what you meant, Stacey. Okay, go on with the next question. I totally messed up now. Go on with the next question.
The last question is coming from Michael Rose. He's asking us, how do you feel about writing to infamous people in prison, convicted of crimes, or acquitted of crimes? And I will let Zane handle this one first.
It's very tricky, you know, especially people who have murdered people. You don't want to say, I'm a big fan of your work, you know. It's not something you want to say to somebody who's murdered like 8 people. Like Charles Manson is one that signs, if you write him a letter, that's, you have to write a good letter, and you have to send the right materials, because you can't send an index card, because it can be used as a weapon. in prison and stuff. You have to know all the rules when you're sending the prisoners, and you don't want to praise them for what they've done, guys. I mean, you can't use your form letter, okay? Don't use your form letter and put, "I'm a big fan, you're the greatest prisoner of all time, you're the greatest murderer of all time," and you can't do that, okay? You need to just be mindful of your words. Like for Charles Manson, you could say, "I'm a fan of your music." He does sing, and he's got, you know, a few songs that you can listen to. If you want to listen to them, they're on YouTube, I think. So you could say that, and you could say, I don't know. It's hard. You'd have to think about it. You have to be very careful what you say, because I think all that mail is also monitored, and they read it before it gets to the prisoners, I believe, for the maximum security stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's correct.
And you don't want to be, you know, on some kind of terrorist watch list the next time you freaking get on a plane. So just tread lightly. I don't have a problem with it. I'd love to have... I've said this over and over again. I'd love to have Hitler's autograph, just because he's a major part of history. Yeah, he was possibly the biggest douchebag to ever live. Just murdered millions and millions of people. But he's a prominent piece of history, and I love history. Anything that's connected with history that's, you know, got us to this point where we are in today's world, I'm interested in. So I would love to have Hitler's autograph. Not a fan of the guy, obviously, but like I said, you know, what they did happened, and I don't know. It's like I said, it's all about history. What do you have to say?
I'll pretty much totally agree with what you said.
You agree with everything I say.
Said like I said, it's touchy. I mean, this is a good question coming from Mike, because we have worked on a project called Project Deja Vu, and we've got a few of these people in that project, which I actually haven't sent to any of them yet. We had Charles Manson, the Unabomber. There was a couple others, a Son of Sam. I can't think what his name is. But it's tricky, because, I mean, like Zane said, you gotta watch what you write. And he's cramped. Pretty sure most of it was maximum security, like Zane said. Read what you write before it even gets to the prisoner inmate, and you've got to do research, because some of these places, they're only allowed certain kinds of things. Most of them actually probably can't send signed stuff back. They'll send a letter back. It's usually what you see.
And you
they'll
also
write a letter back, and they'll sign the letter.
And you also don't want to piss off a mass murderer. Don't. You know, don't put anything in there that could make him angry, because he probably has contact to the outside, and you don't know who his friends are. I'm just saying, don't get yourself murdered over TTMs. That would not be a smart move. So you just, yeah, be mindful.
So I like the bizarre and odd stuff. So I mean, sure, I would have no problem having some of these people's autographs. It's just, it's a real touchy subject, and something you probably don't want to brag about a lot.
Yeah, you don't want to, you know, go to Thanksgiving dinner and say, "Guys, you wouldn't believe I got Charles Manson's autograph. I'm such a big fan of his, dude. Such a big fan." Don't want to do that. All right.
But I think that's pretty much all I've got on that subject.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. Just be mindful of what you're writing. I don't have a problem with it. I've said mindful of your writing like a million times. That sums it up. So, is that all for the questions?
Yep.
All right. We are moving on to the discussion, which is very serious because it affects all of us in the TTM community who send fan mail out every day, almost every day. This is the USPS, United States Postal Service, cutbacks. And if you guys haven't heard about this, it's not good. They are almost filing for bankruptcy. They're losing money because people aren't using mail like they did. I think it was 25% down this year, or maybe it was 25% down from last year. Over the past 5 years, the volume of first-class mail has dropped 25%. So they're losing money, and they're trying to stay afloat. So basically what they're doing is they're closing half of their, well, I think it's a little less than half of their sorting facilities. Now the sorting facilities are the places that you see stamped on the top of your envelope, I think there's 500 and something in the U.S. and they're closing 200 and something. So this is going to slow down mail. So you let's say there's a town 30 minutes away from you. You know how that goes to the next town the next day? Not anymore, because the town right next to you, it doesn't matter if the mail sorting facility might have been in that town or your town. If they remove that sorting facility, it has to go maybe 3 hours away to the nearest sorting facility, then come back and go to that town. So what this is going to do is usually the wait for a normal first-class letter was, I think, 1 to 3 days. Now they're saying 2 to 5. So no matter what, it's going to take 2 days to get your letters to wherever they're going. No matter what. This is going to have a major impact on Netflix, guys. They're going to have to figure out what to do. Of course, their delivery service is kind of faltering now anyways with the switch to Instant. But it's going to affect us in a major way. I mean, you know how you call Terrible Tuesdays and Wicked Wednesdays? Well, those are going to be changed around. Probably what will happen is Mondays will probably still be good. Tuesdays will probably be actually good, I think. I think Thursdays will be the new Wednesday, and Wednesdays will be the new Tuesdays. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. These happen next year. They're also increasing the stamp price, which we talked about in an earlier podcast, to 45 cents per stamp. So they're trying to get afloat and get back on top. The internet's killing them. That's a thing. And due to all this stuff going on with the U.S. Postal Service and the cutbacks they're doing, I've decided to stop reusing stamps. I'm just going to buy stamps when I need them. You guys know that it's illegal anyways to take stamps and reuse them. Not doing that anymore. Going to pay for all my stamps no matter what. I know it takes money out of my pocket, and it's probably not going to do much in the long run to help the U.S. Postal Service. But I feel like an asshole when I'm reusing stamps and cheating the Postal Service, which I rely on, by the way. We all rely on for our hobby. If we didn't have the Postal Service, we'd be screwed. I feel like I'm screwing them out of money when I reuse stamps, and I am. So, and you know, if we didn't have the Postal Service, there's no company. Yes, it's a subsidiary of the government, but the tax money does not pay for the Postal Service, guys. If you did not know that, it's not paid by taxpayers. It's run as almost a separate company. All the money comes from itself.
See, I think that's part of this too. They're privatized. They're trying to privatize, or they did a big private solicitation not too long ago, correct?
I don't know if it's always been that way, but I know it is now. They don't use any tax money. It's all self-sustained.
Because I heard a big part of this wasn't necessarily, I mean, granted they're losing some of the money, they're not making money like they used to be, but I heard a big part of this is from when they were trying to do the private part of it. They had to pay out a huge sum in retirement plans. It's a monster amount. I can't remember. It was a huge amount. I'm going to try to find some more information on that. And I think something, as you were talking about this, something I think might be interesting is trying each one of us. I mean, it's going to be hard for you with your work schedule because you're always at work when the post office is open. Is trying to talk to a supervisor at our local post office and see if they'll give us what kind of information they'll actually give us.
Yeah, you know, and I've actually talked to my local post office people. And they told me all the information that I've wanted to know. They told me that the stamps are going up in January. I asked them that. They said it's not official, but that's what they heard. So if you just ask these people, they usually know what's going around the loop at the post office, and they'll probably tell you. It's scary, dude. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of backlash if, you know, the Postal Service starts getting to a point where they're going to say they're going to have to close our doors. There's going to be a huge backlash, and hopefully they'll stay afloat, because there's no company that's going to take over for them. You can say UPS and you can say FedEx, but those companies don't deliver everywhere.
Well, there's actually several. I mean, there's several post offices that are closing too. So
yeah, yeah,
it's not just the sorting plants,
right? And this is going to affect a lot of people. So this is going to be a major problem, and we need to support the post office as much as possible, guys. Like I said, I will ask you guys to also do the same, and don't reuse stamps. I know it's easy to say, and money is money, especially in this economy. But if there's any way possible, if you're doing okay on money, don't reuse stamps, because the post office really needs the money right now, and without them, we'd be out of a hobby. I mean, that's the truth of it. What I was saying about FedEx and UPS is they've said that they will not deliver everywhere. If the post office falls through and there's no longer a post office, they will not deliver everywhere. So that leaves nothing. And granted, I don't think we'll get to that point. I don't think the government will allow the post office to go under. But the problem is, with all the cutbacks in the government, people wanting to cut the budget 24/7. Every single thing is under review for cutting, which is stupid in my mind. But you can't be dishing out money to the Postal Service to save it. We can bail out freaking huge banks that got themselves in deep crap, but we can't bail out our freaking mail system, which has supported us for, like, what, 200 years? I mean, it's ridiculous. Our government's totally screwed up, but anyways, support U.S. Postal Service and any way you can.
So is your post office staying open for sure then?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll stay open. I'm not sure. I'm not totally sure, but I'm sure it will. I mean, we're big enough town that I don't think we'll get rid of it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find out. Cause we have, I mean, this is probably where I'm at. Usually the second or third largest city in the state. We've got three or four post offices in this city, so I'm going to try to find out. I'm going to see if they're all going to stay.
Maybe some of those closing down. I would say multiple post offices in one city. I'd say that would be the first ones to go, right? And that would make sense to me.
Well, I think that, and I think there's going to be a lot of small town post office closings. Like they were talking on, when I was listening to Twit on the Leo Laporte Network this week, he was talking about the Petaluma post office where he is at is actually closing.
Really?
I mean, Petaluma is not a huge city, but it's still a decent sized city.
It's all very scary. Just stay tuned to us and we'll bring you the latest news on what's going on with post office and how it's going to affect us, guys. Not good news on the post office front. Alright, that was a good discussion. If you guys have anything to add to that discussion, anything we got wrong or anything that you think we need to know, go ahead and post it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/autographweekly. I do that every week. So let's move on to the giveaway winners. Go from bad news to good news. Last show we did was our super show. And boy, oh boy, did we give away some awesome stuff. We gave away, what is it? We gave away a Cal Ripken Jr., Billy Ripken, dual sign book, a George Brett sign card, and a Duke Snyder sign card. So we're here to announce the winners. By the way, guys, if you want to know the winners in advance before the podcast, we post the video every week on youtube.com/autographweekly. You can learn who wins the prizes before everybody else does. Before everybody else knows. So the winners for this week are, for third place, Ben Martinez. For second place, Matthew Ferrara. I think maybe Ferrara. And first place, David Stodler. Get used to that name because you're going to hear it a little bit more. So congratulations, guys. I will be emailing you, messaging you probably a couple days from now. That way you can learn. It's no fun to learn you won a contest through a message. It's always more fun to learn through the podcast or in a video. So I'll wait a couple days before I PM you, and then you can tell me which ones you want and give me your addresses. Now, this week's giveaway, guys, I inserted the keyword already. You should have been paying attention. If you haven't, you need to rewind and listen for the keyword. All you need to do is go post that keyword on our Facebook page. Again, facebook.com/autographweekly. And this week, if you do that, you could win a Monty Irvin signed Topps Fan Favorites card. It's not certified. It is TTM, but it is authentic. It got sent straight to Monty and back to me. So Hall of Famer, I think one of the oldest Hall of Famers out there, played for the New York Giants back in the golden age of baseball, and just a really nice piece, good condition. I'll post a scan up on Autograph Weekly if you guys are interested in seeing what it looks like. So all you have to do to enter that, guys, go post the keyword on the wall. On the wall, the Facebook wall, the wonderful Autograph Weekly Facebook wall. Easy as that. And we also want to remind you that we are still having the cover art contest. We're going to have that for a month, so you still got a few weeks to enter. But be working on those, guys. We're going to pick the best one, and the best one will win the signed Howie Long 8x10. Because we're looking for new cover art for iTunes. That's the main reason we're doing that. So if you need anything from us, like signatures or pictures, just ask us. It may take us a few days to get it to you since we're so busy, but we'll be happy to oblige and get those necessary materials to you. Also, I think Stacy wants to talk about his daily giveaway.
Yep, I'm going to do a quick reminder, quick plug for this. I'm going to apologize up front. I did not get a daily giveaway up on Facebook today due to stuff I was doing today and getting ready for the
show.
So.
Lazy.
We both need to work less.
Yeah, we do.
But just a reminder on that, basically. I'll probably try to put something up tonight before I go to bed for the Friday's daily giveaway. So if not, look for it on Friday in the afternoon sometime. But basically what I'm doing, just a reminder, is giving away an autograph daily on the Facebook page. Just basically look for that and comment. And the comment's not a – basically just commenting an opinion or your thought on something. It's not a yes or no answer or a right or wrong answer. So, and then second part of that, starting on December 14th and going through Christmas, I'm going to be doing the 12 days of Christmas part with that. And basically what that is, going to be giving away an autograph each day, and it's going to increase each day as it gets closer to Christmas. So December 14th will just be the one like usual, but the 15th will move up to 2, the 16th to 3, and so on up until we get to the 25th, which will be 12 on that day. And basically I'm just going to, I've got a couple questions about this, I'm just going to run it the same way as I'm doing the one now. It's not going to be 12 different winners. It's going to be one person winning 12 or one person winning 11th on the 11th day and so on. And how I'm doing that as well, I'm just doing that on random.org, and I'm just doing it, randomizing it 3 times. I'm not posting the videos or anything up on Facebook, so I don't want to blog the Facebook feed down with videos every day for that. So
yeah, we're already pushing out a lot of content on Facebook, so if you're following us on Facebook, we update it very regularly. So yeah, definitely go check that out. Stacy's giving away some great stuff every single day, guys. Every day you could win an autograph from Stacy, and we have multiple winners. You can win multiple times. It's not like once you win, you're out. So go definitely check that out. It's free autographs, man. Free autographs. And 12, he's going to give away 12 autographs on Christmas.
And I promise they won't be 12 Zane Savage autographs either.
There'll be 11 Zane Savage autographs and one Stacy Schaefer.
There you go.
So yeah, go check that out, guys. You'd be stupid if you didn't. Let's move on to TTM of the week, where it was interesting because last show we nominated Zane Savage. You did. You nominated Zane Savage for the best TTM, and I nominated somebody else, but it's kind of like I was battling myself. So out of Zane Savage versus Zane Savage, who won?
Zane Savage.
Booyah!
All right, here is the breakdown. I want to thank everybody actually for voting on this. This is the most votes we've had for this so far. We had 35 people vote, and this was very lopsided, but here we go. Top Shelf TTM with the Roger Clemens 8x10 that he got 30 votes for 86%, and Robert Patrick, which is Mr. Zane Savage, only got 5 votes. So that's got to sting just a little.
No, not really, because, you know, if I thought mine was best, I would have picked mine for the nomination. So I went with what I thought was best, and I believe I won. Zane always wins. Zane is the man.
Very well, then. We will move on to this week's nominations, and I am going to nominate that David Stotler character again, Bloodspawn, with the Morgan Freeman he got in I want to say it was early last week, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I can't exactly remember. But he got, I think, actually 3 photos signed back from Morgan Freeman, which is pretty epic. So that is my nomination for this week. And what about you, Zane?
Mine's going to be from TTM Central. It is Michael York. You probably know him from the Austin Powers movies. He's also in a lot of other stuff. He's very an exaggerated character, if you will, in all the stuff he does. I just love that return. I actually need to write off to him now. I don't know if he signs very well or not. I don't think he does. So it's pretty cool to get him in. Pretty impressive return. So, guys, go vote on that. All you have to do is go to our website, autographweekly.com. Our poll is on the side on the right, and just click who you want and hit submit, and you are done. It's very easy. It's like the easiest thing to do in the world.
And something I'm going to add to that, I almost forgot. I want an honorable mention this week. And that's because I got a speaking of, we talked about a true 2 of 2 earlier this show. I got a true 1 of 1 autograph in the mail this week, or last week, I think. And that's none other than from Bobo.
Who's Bobo?
Bobo Savage.
My cat. That's right. I think we already mentioned this a little bit, but I sent Stacy, he sent a picture of my cat. My cat used to be a very large part of my live show that I did. And he's very well known. Kind of famous. So he sent a picture of Bobo, and I had Bobo put a paw print on the back of the photo, so it was pretty epic. But it's not a 1 of 1, Stacy. I also sent some to Big Dog, so not a 1 of 1.
Okay. That still works, though. It's still Bobo. Yeah,
it's true. All right, the TTMer of the month, the moment you've all been waiting for. This contest was a little confusing. We made it pretty confusing the last couple weeks, but it all turned out all right. We had several entries. TTM of the month is basically the person who we think earns the best the honor of being the best TTMer of the month. That's pretty much it. So we studied all the videos that you guys submitted. Basically explaining why you guys thought you deserved to be TTMer of the Month. Now remember, the TTMer of the Month wins some awesome prizes, or can pick from awesome prizes. It's either a $20 gift certificate to eBay, a 6-month subscription to Star Tiger, $20 in Wink Flash photos, or $20 in stamps. So, me and Stacy came to a decision, and who'd we pick, Stacy?
David Stotler.
David Stotler! There's that name again!
Bloodspawn, I think, is it 80?
Yeah, Bloodspawn 80. He's wiped up this week on the giveaways, man. You you did awesome, dude. Congratulations. You are kicking ass and taking names. And, guys, we didn't plan it. You can watch the video where we picked the winner on our YouTube channel. It was all done through random.org. Not planned. Not rigged. I don't want emails saying rigged. David just won all of them, dude. That's just the way it is. He's a great TTMer. He actually got in Morgan Freeman, Heather Locklear, Dennis Quaid, and Orlando Bloom, just to name a few, in November. So, I mean, it was really hard not to. It was really hard to beat that, you know, if you're competing against it. But once you win, you can't win again. So, I think that's what we're doing, right, Stacy?
I believe so.
Yeah, for right now, at least. We may change that down the line. But for right now, once you win, you can't win again. So, you don't have to compete with Bloodspawn anymore, guys. So maybe you can win next month. We will be changing the rules a little bit, but then we'll worry about that when we announce the contest in a couple weeks for the end of December. But congratulations, David. Like I said, hell of a month, and you need to send us a message, or we'll send you a message. I mean, we message all the time anyway. And we'll figure out what you want, dude. Either the, like I said, $20 in eBay gift card or Star Tiger 6-month subscription, $20 in Wink Flash, or $20 in stamps. And I think that covers TTM of the month. Again, guys, changes come into that. It was a little confusing. People were confused about what to do exactly. I tried to clear it up in a video, but I think people are still confused. So we're going to fix things here and there, polish it up, make it a nice, clean, clear contest next time. So I think that wraps up the show. Great show, super long show. I think this was actually longer than our super show, but it makes up for last week. So, all right, guys, I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacey Schaefer. As always, stay classy.
You take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.